This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
To 8 o'clock on your Tuesday morning. Always a pleasure to chat around something interesting medically, something that's happening in the news. Touching on this morning, coming off Epilepsy Awareness Week last week, the epilepsy treatment gap. Now, that's the disparity between those who need treatment for epilepsy and those who are actually able to receive treatment for epilepsy is sitting around about 80 to 90% globally. That means there are about 50 million people worldwide that are living with epilepsy, and the vast majority of those in low-income regions such as sub-Saharan Africa, and they're getting no treatment or not the appropriate treatment. And we need to talk about this. A pleasure to welcome Dr. Patty Francis, President of the Neurological Association of South Africa. Dr. Francis, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Could we start just talking around epilepsy? I think many people think we know what it means and what it is. Can you help us by starting to define what is epilepsy?
Epilepsy is a term that is used to describe patients with recurrent seizures. Seizures are brief but dramatic episodes where the electrical activity of the brain is excessive. So in its most well-known or well-recognized form, it's a generalized tonic-clonic, or what's usually called a grand mal seizure, where the entire body rhythmically jerks, the person falls down, loses consciousness, usually froths, bites their tongue, and lies unconscious for several minutes. That process is triggered by an abnormal excessive electrical discharge in the brain, as compared to strokes, etc., which have different mechanisms in the brain. So a single seizure is not epilepsy. There are statistics that say either 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 people might have a seizure throughout the course of their life, just one seizure. But where the seizures become recurrent, then that person has a diagnosis of epilepsy.
Dr. Francis, if that diagnosis is successfully made and the person and the family are able to support them and get them the medical help that they need, is it treatable to the point where one can live a mostly normal experience of life?
Definitely. About 70% of patients can be treated with one or two anti-seizure medications. And we have a whole range of anti-seizure medications that we try to match with the type of epilepsy the person has, as well as the patient profile, for example, in women who plan to have babies. There's certain medications that are absolutely no-no, school-going children, etc. So we try to match medication to the patient profile and the seizure type, and that's 70% of them be optimally controlled. And this is the reason for doing the advocacy program, is people can be treated and controlled.
And then that takes us to where we started by saying that there are approximately 50 million people worldwide living with epilepsy, a vast majority in low-income regions, and are not having access to that medication. How scary it must be to experience these seizures as regularly as you've implied when we started our conversation, but can do nothing about it. I can totally understand why there's this drive to try and do something about that.
Yes.
So what is the answer here, where money clearly is the problem, or diagnosis? Where does the problem sit?
Just look at South Africa, for example. 16% of our population are privately funded on medical aids, which means we've got about 84% that rely on the public sector. We know that throughout our country at the moment, we have big ticket priorities like water, electricity, crime, violence, those sorts of things. And there are big conversations taking place about healthcare, but not specific conversations about which are the big brain health issues that need to be addressed. If we look at the statistic that says 1 in 100 South Africans have epilepsy, the population of about 60 million is saying maybe 600,000 have epilepsy. And there's also a broad statistic that says for each patient with epilepsy, about four people around them's lives are affected. So that's 600,000 times four, that's broadly even a crude estimate of the number of people that are somehow being affected economically in their daily lives by this epilepsy diagnosis. We don't have the ability at this moment to sit with the government, the Ministry of Health, and say, these are the drugs, these are the processes, these are the personnel. But we do know with other diseases like TB, like HIV, that where patients become more empowered, then they can fight their own battle, firstly by going to the right clinic and saying, I think I have epilepsy, or the family saying whatever. Start there. Get yourself treated, then look at the bigger picture, join together, lobby for identification and recognition of your particular disease. And maybe from there we can build and shift those percentages to, even if it's just 10%, you know, that we've made a difference year on year on. The World Health Organization has launched a intersectoral global action plan against epilepsy and other neurological diseases. It's called the IGAP, running from 2022 to 2032. And there are four pillars on this, which we as the Neurology Association, and then there's Epilepsy South Africa, which is an advocacy group, the Pediatric Neurology Association, we're trying to just raise awareness and try and get South Africa aligned with the four pillars of the IGAP. The two most important ones for us as clinicians being the appropriate treatment of the disease and then preventative measures to prevent recurrent seizures.
Yeah, I like what you've just said there, Dr. Francis. And then, of course, there's on street level amongst families, communities in which we live, when there are people struggling with epilepsy, I think there's potentially a misunderstanding of what it might be, to the point of it actually coming down where somebody thinks this is a spiritual issue here, somebody's bewitched or whatever's happening here, you know, and that doesn't make life easy for those who are suffering with epilepsy or with seizures. So it almost feels like education would also be a key spoke in the wheel here when it comes to community understanding.
Definitely. You know, the human beings in general have a deep-seated spirituality in their intrinsic makeup.
Yeah.
But communities that maybe don't have the access to high-level healthcare, they do tend to have deeper connections with God and religion and things like that. But then when things go wrong, the first thing to do is to blame it on evil or blame it on demonic possession, etc. This sudden attack where a person falls down and looks like they're dying, etc., it's an attack in their brain. It's not an attack in their spirit.
Yeah.
And it's important for people to understand that even when you're looking at things from a spiritual or religious framework, look with the eyes of compassion. Don't look with the eyes of judgment and see, okay, what can we get this person to a clinic or a doctor first before we start exercising and condemning the person?
Yeah, I think that's so important. There's so many lack of understanding of so many things. And even you mentioned HIV in the beginning of our conversation. You know, still, after all these years of advocacy and awareness and drives on through the media, and we've seen it everywhere, although less so now, still a misunderstanding and still we lack true understanding of what's going on and what it all means. So it feels like it's this continuous process that needs to unfold over time. So where do we go from here, just as we close, Dr. Francis, where to from here as a country, as people, those who are suffering or struggling, supporting them, making sure that they have full understanding of what they're experiencing, getting the help that they need? What's the big next step for us as a country?
So as I say, you know, we've unfortunately got to start at virtual or small body level because we don't have the big picture sorted with Ministry of Health yet. So firstly, for as many people as possible to be educated, that if you see having a dizzy spell, something resembling a blackout, first thought is, let's get them to a doctor. There's simple little things that cause seizures, and they are short-term seizures and don't move on to chronic epilepsy. For example, a low sugar level, a low salt level. So those are brief seizures, which then if one identifies this was the cause, one can prevent it. In people who, for example, have disabilities and are born with neurological syndromes, they're going to need a lifetime of care. And once again, for communities to rally and start organizing themselves and, okay, destigmatize, support, embrace, and follow medical guidance. There's measures, safety measures, like bathing, you know, not to bath in a full bath because a person can drown in very little water. You don't need a full tub. Keeping the shower door not locked. If the mother is epileptic and she has a baby, sitting against a safe surface and feeding her baby, because if she fits, she might fall on top of her baby and suffocate her baby. Even sitting on the floor and bathing her little baby. We're talking about 80% of this country not having private healthcare. So we have to think out there in communities which don't have the whole elite way of doing things. How do we guide them? So safety first. If you know you have epilepsy, yes, you need to take your tablets, but then how do you keep yourself safe? And, you know, we're happy to do interviews and keep re-spreading the word and reminding people and exploring specific thoughts and options as people come up to us and say, what about this? What should we do about that? We're very willing to answer.
Yeah, that's so important. I'm grateful to be hearing it from Dr. Patty Francis, President of the Neurological Association of South Africa. Thank you for your time and your expertise and for sharing your thoughts and opinions on this. We value that so much. Have yourself a really great Tuesday.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dr. Francis. Maybe you're listening right now from wherever you're at and you're saying, yeah, that's actually me, or somebody in my family, or somebody that I know about, a best friend, a sister, a brother. And it is a difficult one, isn't it? I have something here in front of me, which is actually quite powerful, just before we go to birthdays. It says, this was shared by another professor, Professor Magazi. I just want to tell you, if I can tell you more about Professor Magazi. No, I don't know anything more about Professor Magazi except that Professor Magazi is a member of the Neurological Association, of which Dr. Patty is the president. Dr. Magazi says this: there are many inspiring examples of individuals who have thrived despite their epilepsy diagnosis. Take Marion Clinet, for example. She was diagnosed with epilepsy at 22, but went on to win 5 gold medals as a world cycling champion. Her story is a testament to what is possible with the right support, big word there, and determination. Let's go and see who's celebrating today.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.